It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Jorge Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at all the usual spots, including iTunes and Apple Podcasts. It's Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with Madeline Klein. She is part of the new Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery. We're going to be talking to the Outer Banks actress. Well, she's going to tell us about, first off, how shocked she was after being cast in the film. Pretty great quote in there. Playing opposite such legendary names like Daniel Craig, Kate Hudson, Edward Norton, Janelle Monáe, Catherine Hahn, to name a few, as well as her character Whiskey's relationship with David Bautista's character Duke. Madeline's also going to discuss the sequel's relationship with the original 2019 Knives Out. We'll talk some music, especially how Ed Norton kept the cast moving with his playlists. And a little nugget that Daniel Craig, apparently not a fan of jazz. So let's do this. We're talking Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery. It's Kyle Meredith with Madeline Klein.
Hi, Kyle. How are you?
Let me say the obvious stuff here. Congratulations on being part of this this wonderful movie with Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery. I love the first one. This one is even so much better. And I thought maybe we just start at the beginning here. How did you get involved? How did you get cast in this one?
I got an email from my agents informing me that I had an audition for it. And I stared at the email for a solid minute and a half, maybe. And I was just in shock. I was shitting my pants, for lack of better words, because I was such a fan of the first. And I immediately just got so nervous. It was just a good old email. And then I sent in a self-tape, and then I believe I sent in another, and then I had a callback producer session. And then I had a director's meeting with Ryan, and then Ryan gave me the call, but it was all over Zoom. None of it was in person. And because we were still deep in the throes of the pandemic. So yeah, then I packed my bags and I went to Greece.
It must've been its own thing too. But then you arrive in Greece and, you know, and I don't know, you're part of just an amazing crew of actors, and yourself included. But that was that a different experience than having sort of a cast like this? Like, what was that experience like?
I mean, it was intimidating, really, really intimidating. And of course, because of, you know, how prolific their careers have been, of course, you know, their reputations preceded them. And so I, you know, I kind of psyched myself out a little bit. I was so nervous, and I was so, I really was just like, I have to get my shit together. Like I wanted to be able to hold my own. And I was really, really excited to learn from them and to kind of, study, you know, I mean, it did feel like a masterclass, and I got to watch all these really masterful actors work. And then I, you know, in turn, I got to get to know them. And I realized very quickly that they are just as wonderful of people as they are actors. And, you know, it's so funny because people talk about, you know, especially I think especially as an actor, you think about, you know, meeting or even working with your, you know, your heroes, especially as a young actor. And so getting to do this, being so young, I feel it was truly like a pinch me kind of thing. For 3 months, I would wake up in the morning, I kind of like slap myself around and like, get yourself together. and just like soak it all in.
Yeah. I mean, there's that moment, right? When you've got to, well, when you're these people you look up to, admire on the work, like when they become the humans, because outside of the work, there's the hang in a situation like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, like at what point do you finally start to get comfortable?
You know, I think the nerves kind of really, I don't know. Actually, no, I take it back. I don't think the nerves ever really went away. I think I kind of started to get comfortable in the, like that adrenaline that came from the nerves, because I recognized pretty early on that it was such a familial, and like loving and supportive environment. And so, you know, it became easier to, let the nerves, like channel the nerves into like a performance, and less so about, like, you know, like psyching myself out a little bit. But I realized pretty early on that this crew is really, really special and supportive and warm and welcoming. I think that's kind of where I started to get more comfortable, and in turn, started to become more free in the play spirit of it all.
Well, let's, you know, what we can, I'd love to hear about your character. Like, how do they pitch whiskey to you? Because the one thing that I really love about your character is they're, and I'll use the term, she's onion skinned. There are these layers that sort of peel away as you go along. It's almost like you're having to do a performance inside a performance. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So how was whiskey pitched to you, and what did you see in her?
You know, I can't even remember if in the breakdown of my first email, I even had like a character description other than very basic, like age range, girlfriend of Duke. Ryan didn't really pitch whiskey to me. I think if I remember correctly, when we had our first conversation, Ryan and I kind of pitched my idea of whiskey to him. I think he was more interested in what we could bring to the table to, I think, complement what he had already written, because what he had already written was so rich. Because he's such a phenomenal writer and so specific. And so I went through the script like 2-3 times before I met with Ryan after I'd gotten the script, and I had written down a bunch of ideas, and I had done a lot of research into like influencers and YouTubers. And, you know, I did spent a lot of afternoons staring at the ceiling, trying to think about like people, like influencers, people that I'd seen here in LA, people that I'd met. And I just had like this notebook of ideas. And so when Ryan answered the Zoom call, when we had our meeting, I just kind of like word vomited to him, like my ideas and who I felt Whiskey was. And I, you know, and it was really a fun conversation, because I immediately felt like how collaborative and how playful, he was as a director, and he was just super, super down for all of it, to just try everything.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Madeline Klein.
Well, it's really fun seeing you play against, of course, De Batista. And he's got his own lane of character that he's and I don't know what you can say to that, but finding the chemistry with him, what went into that? Because I love the juxtaposition of who the two of you are,
I do think Whiskey cares a lot for Duke, but at the same time I think she cares a lot about her goals, and I think there's some social climbing. There's for sure. I think their relationship with each other is mutually beneficial for what each other wants. And I think that has a lot to do with it, with the way they interact and move around each other. And Dave is so lovely, and he's such a phenomenal person to be able to share the screen with, and have as an actor opposite of me. And he's so thoughtful. He's such a gentle giant, such a wonderful guy. And I think his Duke was absolutely perfect.
Now, as we know, you know, it's a sequel in name, and of course we've got our detective, but story-wise, you know, they don't share anything between the two, but still, like when you go into, I guess normally when you would go into a sequel, like you would have to really, you know the stuff at the beginning. Were you all coached to do that? Or was it sort of like, hey, this is a clean slate?
I think from the very beginning, we realized it was a clean slate. I think it just based off of the script, it was, it was very clear that it was the same universe, but a different novel. And I also think from the very beginning, from my first day on set, I realized just with this group of actors in particular, we were really leaning into the comedy of it all and the satire, even like, in my opinion, even more so, I think, sometimes than in the first. And that was really fun because Ryan would always say bigger, 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 like it's not big enough, more. And sometimes you go like, what? Are you sure? And he was always very short, and we quickly learned, well, I think even before I was on set, I knew that Ryan was going to be a director that I could trust absolutely.
Well, again, it's just kind of fun seeing the interaction that go through this and who people like, I don't know. And again, what we can say and what we can't say, but it's like, Miles, you know, you have the Ed Norton character here too, and we've seen his character so much in real life. Was that ever part of it? Like these people are to represent like sort of these other people that we've seen?
I think everyone's taken inspiration from people that they have seen or been around or experienced or had experiences with. I think what was really fun about it is just like, is how satirical it all was. Mm-hmm. And how everybody really leaned into it. But yeah, I would say that I think everybody kind of pulled little bits and pieces. I think some more than others, just depending on, you know, your, I guess, depending on each cast member's acting method. I don't even know what to say there, but how they prefer to approach a role. But for me, I kind of, again, like I took little bite-sized pieces of people that I had seen. And I think a lot of my cast members, just hearing them talk, did the same.
You know, bringing up sort of the fun side of it too. I mean, it sounds like it's all fun actually, but Glass Onion being a Beatles song and there being that musical slant, I mean, Knives Out and Radiohead to me. And, you know, I'll sort of close out with this too, because as you talk about doing the influences, musically, do you ever use those parts? Like, you know, I was watching you in the Hot Stuff video, the Donna Summer, which was fun, but you know, yeah. when we have this musical side of the movie, like what's your musical lane and does that ever play a part of what you're bringing into your role?
You know, it's so funny. I don't know, like music is in a way. Yeah. But for this one, Edward, cause I wish I had like more of an actual concrete answer for like myself and whiskey, but I actually don't. I remember that summer in Greece and Serbia, I listened to a lot of the Grateful Dead. I was just on a kick, and ABBA, because I was in Greece. Mm-hmm. But you know, Edward, when I think of whiskey and I think of this movie and the making of this movie, I think of this playlist that Edward created, and he called it Green Room. And it is a collection of songs that we like to listen to in the green room. And a lot of it's like 70s, 60s. I don't want to spoil anything. But yeah, they were all kind of oldies and throwbacks, but absolutely no jazz, because Daniel hates jazz. Don't ever, if you ever get the privilege of being around him, do play jazz. You can see his reaction to it.
I love the movie. It's so much fun. Congratulations again to all of you all accomplished on this one. It's one of my favorite I've seen. And Madeline, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Thank you so, so much.
And my thanks to Madeline Klein. Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery on Netflix. Thanks to you as well for checking out this episode. Before you get out, I do hope you hit that subscribe button. Again, I put out 3 new interviews every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify and Podchaser, at NPR and WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcasts from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, because that's where I do a show, Monday through Friday. It starts at 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. That's Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. Of course, you can also catch me on the social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all 3 of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org, from Louisville Public Media.